this, the story takes place years ago, back when the scriptures were being hand copied. And this, the way the story goes, this young monk just went into the monastery, and he was watching the monks copy the manuscripts. And he noticed that they were copying from copies.
From what?
From copies. They were copying from copies. And he was a little bit concerned about that, so he went to the head monk. I guess that would be the big monkety monk. But went to him and said, you know, expressed his concern, and the head guy said, well, you know, that's a real concern. He says, I'll take one of the copies and go down to the archives and look at the originals and just to be sure. Well, he does this, and he early morning, you know, the monk goes down into the dungeons, into the basement, and begins reading the scriptures, and he's not seen till late evening, and they get worried. So several go down into the lower parts there to see what's going on, and they hear sobbing. He's just sobbing back in the back part. And so they go back in there, and he's sobbing there, and he said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, the word says celebrate, not celibus.
Not celibate.
Whoops. Okay, start the recording now.
I'm a Baptist.
But I wanted to kind of continue a little bit tonight about Charlotte and I did, about the message that the Lord gave me for Sunday. And, you know, the question was, do you believe in miracles?
Right.
Do you believe God will work a miracle for you,
amen,
for us individually? And do we? Do we truly believe that? And, you know, we've seen some miracles happen here just since Sunday. And just, you know, I've heard a number of people relate to me the miracles that they were looking at and seeing the miracles because they were expecting miracles to happen. They were looking for miracles. And this is the problem that we have most of the time, is that we do not look for miracles to happen. We are looking at the situations around us, and we tend to go about solving them because we know how to solve them. And so we do it, and we do not give credit to the Lord for the miracles that's coming down. And Charlotte and I have been we've walked through this in the past couple of years, and this is what really brought this message to the fulfillment, is the things that we have walked through, and we began to look back and began to see the miracles that God has been doing. And I'm going to ask Charlotte to come on up and just kind of share a little bit what she has there for you.
Woo-hoo. All right. Woo-hoo. Well, I want to go back. Y'all probably heard all this before, but it's a little history of what's happened in the past couple of years. We've traveled quite a bit over the past 4 or 5 years, especially more so since he's retired. We've been on cruises, by car, by plane, and lately in the motorhome. Wherever we go, we try to seek out places of worship and Bible study. As Bill told a lady at a church in Flagstaff, Arizona, when we were out there a year or so ago, who asked what had brought us there to their church, his answer was, as Christians, that's what we do on Sundays. Especially in our motorhome travels, stopping in parks, there seemed to be no place close by to worship. There seemed to be a need for travelers, and we discussed how we could have small Bible studies at our campsites, or if they had a pavilion, we could have, you know, late, larger services, maybe on a Sunday or Wednesdays, or, you know, whenever it was allowed. Of course, I never thought of this as going to be a lifestyle. It's never in mind. I just thought, as we're going, you know, we'll minister. But God was speaking to Bill in a different way. In August, September, and September of 2017, we put our house on the market. We live in a motorhome full time. Then things changed there a little bit too. In October 12th, we left going on a 3-week trip to Connecticut to see our great-grandson Levi, and of course his dad and mom, you know. When we left, we had an offer on the house, sight unseen. This was just a month or so after we put it on the market. We said, woohoo, God's really moving, you know. These people lived, I think, in Arizona or something, and they wanted to move back to this area. The day of our return, we happened to be, what was that?
We was in Albany.
Albany, anyway, we had a flat tire blowout on the motorhome, so we were sitting in this blown out gas station that had been damaged by a previous hurricane or tornado or something, and waiting for the people to come and repair it. And we got a call from the realtor, said the people had backed out. Lots of people in the meantime looked at the house, were interested, really loved it, but no contracts. Around July or August of 18, we sat down with a sweet family from Miami. Sweet Hispanic couple, or not really a couple, it was an older woman, her daughter, her son, and I guess the grandfather, Papa Louie. And they were quite a treat to talk to and visit with, and they just really fell in love with the house and wanted it. Problem is, they had a house that they needed to sell. They needed some work to get it ready to sell. So they wanted a contract at our asking price, but they wanted to close in 6 months. So here we are, we think, well, that's just too long to wait. You know, we need to get moving here. You know, God, your plans are on hold here. So anyway, that we had, you know, turned that down. And we got to thinking that was just, you know, too far away. We needed to move on quicker. Nothing happened. Then in December, as most of you know, we had a lady come and we sat down with her and talked with her and ministered with her for a couple of times. And she put her offer on the house with the closing for January the 11th. But we had a contract. Well, a couple of days or so before closing, she backed out. We had moved out of the house already, living in this, what, 260 square feet or something. All our stuff packed up except what would, you know, we could use there. In the meantime, much prayer has gone up over a period of time, both personal, in church here and in Calavana. Then Sunday, not this past Sunday, Sunday what, the 24th, Pastor Randy at Calavana preached on John 14, 1 through 6, with his emphasis on Jesus as the way to meet all our needs. At the end of the service, he asked, what do you need? And he had us all get in small groups to share our needs with one another and pray for one another. Most of them were 3 or 4 people. We had about 6 in our group. And we prayed for each other's needs. And one thing they all prayed for was for the sale of our house. On Tuesday night, the 26th, or we might say Wednesday, the 27th, in the morning at 1:30, I couldn't sleep. So as kind of my habit, I got up and I was reading the Bible and prayed. I was reading it Jeremiah at the time and came to one of my favorite passages, Jeremiah 29, 11, and 13. For I know the... For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will ask me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So as I was praying, Psalm 18:6 came to mind. As I was really crying out that night, is a lot of times if you've been up in the middle of the night praying, that's kind of the time you cry out. It says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came to his ears. So I poured out my distress to him, and I need a tissue.
Michelle, right under your chair.
Pardon me. Around 3 a.m. on Wednesday the 27th, I wrote down the conclusion of my prayer. I don't often do this. I do have a prayer list that I kind of follow, so I be sure not forget anybody that I'm praying for. And this is what I wrote. Buyer for house this week at a good price with closing by or before end of March. Thank you, Jesus. I went back to bed. I got up about 8 o'clock. And of course, Bill's been up for a couple hours or so. First thing out of Bill's mouth, he got a text from my realtor saying he had an offer on the house. I laughed and went and got my note of prayer and showed it to him. Then he called the realtor, and the realtor sent a contract with closing by March 28th. That was on Wednesday. We made a counter offer, and they accepted and signed the contract Friday, March the 1st. Mm-hmm. End of the week, closing by the end of the month. It also brought to mind, thinking about, looking back on it, the story of Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. The ram was already on the way while Abraham made preparations. Our answer, the offer, had already been made at the time of my prayer. And I got to thinking, was it a prayer or was it a prophecy?
The thing that has happened over the period of time is that, you know, had we accepted that offer, the first offer that had gone through that we were given, we would have been in one big mess. I've said that a number of times to people, but because we were not prepared for what the Lord has for us. And, you know, like Charlotte related, that my vision was that we would be on the road full time in the RV. But that's not what the Lord has for us, that we will be in and out, but we will be on the road a great deal, but we will be going where the Lord calls us to go specifically, not just driving around. But the thing is that there's so much has happened in this process. She mentioned the family from Miami that we had opportunity to sit down and minister with. And then the lady that had made the offer from up in Donaldsonville that we had opportunity to pray with her. She has some real issues with stress and anxiety, and we were able to pray with her. One of the realtors that came out, I had opportunity to sit down with him for a season and minister to him, counsel him with his relationship with his wife. And since then, he's come back and, you know, related to what that meant to him and to his marriage and his family. So it's been a process that the Lord's been taking through step by step to bring a progressive miracle to fulfillment. And, you know, it's not over yet. In fact, it will not be over until the Lord returns. Folks, our life, all of our life, is a progressive miracle. one step at a time that we're growing, and we need to look at our life in that manner and realize what the Lord is doing. And, you know, the thing is that the enemy is going to attack us. He's going to bring doubt and anxiety to us. And just this week, the roof on our house is 14 years old. It's a 25-year roof. Well, we've had two home inspectors out there. Both of them have said, well, the roof probably has maybe 2 or 3 years left on it. And, you know, that's ridiculous, because that's not correct. But this is what they wrote up in their reports. And after the first one, I called a roofer, Garrison Roofing, and he came out, inspected the roof, and gave us he said, I can give you I can certify the roof for 5 years. He says it will last longer, but I can only certify it for 5 years. So he gave us a letter to certify the roof for 5 years. And in the process of that, you know, we were going to go through another home inspection, I assumed, and because, you know, the people that are buying it now are pre-approved bank financing. The others were cash deals, so there wasn't any banks involved. Well, there are some banks that will require at least half the time of a roof, you know, the period when they finance it, that at least has half the life of the roof left. Well, I started naturally wayward. What's going to come with this? Because, you know, even though we have a 5-year certification, you know, that's not half the lifetime of the roof, you know. So, you know, and of course the enemies beat me up with it. I don't remember, it was either Tuesday or Wednesday morning when I was up praying. Actually, I had finished reading scripture and I was praying, and I just felt such a presence of the Lord in there. And you know, the Lord repeated back to me my words, I have a plan. You know, I used that Sunday, you know, but he says, I have a plan. It was like, well, yes, Lord, you do, and I'm going to trust that. Well, again, about 8 or 9 o'clock, a realtor calls and says that they were going to do their inspection on Friday, tomorrow. Everything's going to be fine. You know, the Lord has a plan. Well, then he calls back and says, well, they're just going to do a termite and wood rot inspection. They're not going to do a home inspection. Right. So there's nothing to worry about the roof. It's all accepted as far as that goes. And of course, they did the termite and wood rot inspection today. And he says everything was clear with that, but we knew that because we'd already had it done twice. So, but the thing is that even knowing, and you know, even having taught the word and having walked in so many miracles and seeing so much happen, the enemy can still attack us. And we're all susceptible to that. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to be under condemnation, because we're normal. You know, that's a normal aspect of our life, is that we're going to be attacked, but to be able to stand and say, Lord, I trust you, and I know you're going to not take me around this thing, but you're going to take me through it and take us to the fullness of where he desires us to be. And that's the thing that we've been walking through, this process of going into selling the home. And it has seemed like it has been just, excuse the expression, but one hell of a time, you know, with disappointment after disappointment, and, you know, question mark after question mark. You know, Lord, what's going on? What are we going to do? Where are we going to be? What's happening? Why isn't this coming through? And again, you know, getting answers and saying, okay, we trust you, Lord, and then turn right around and do the same thing again. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, like morning, noon, and evening, We complain and murmur, yet the Lord still hears us.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That's Psalm 55, by the way. But the thing is that God is so gracious unto us, so gracious. And why is that? It's because he delights in us. Can we get a hold of that? Can we get a hold of the fact that the Lord created us in the womb just like he wants us to be, and he has created us just as we are because he delights in us just as we are, the way he created us, and that he wants to bring us into his presence. Now, yeah, our flesh needs to get out of the way. We've got all of this stuff to deal with. But the fact is, God is walking us through all of this in a progressive miracle of our life, from conception to coming face to face with the Lord. It is what I see, a progressive miracle with God, that we're walking with him one step at a time. It's just like breaking the bread to feed the 5,000 and 4,000. Mm-hmm. It took thousands of breakings of that bread to feed those people. Mm-hmm. And it takes thousands of steps and situations in our life to walk through where God is bringing us through. And it does not matter what you're walking through or how bad it may seem. The thing is that when you get to the end of it, you will be much better off than before you started, because everything that we experience brings us to where God wants us to be. Now that sounds strange, but sometimes some of the things that we suffer and go through seem very, very terrible. But the fact is, had we not gone through those things, we would not be the person that we are today. Everything that brings in our life that happens has a purpose and a reason. We just need to look to him and trust him and realize that he has a plan. He has a plan for everything for us to do and to walk in. And his desire is that we succeed in him. Not that we succeed, but that we succeed in him. Sure. Because that's the only place that we're going to really succeed. Amen? And that's all, folks.